that in every possible way.
The new series of File on 4, Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock on BBC Radio 4.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news from John Shea.
British helicopters have come under fire from Colonel Gaddafi's forces while attacking military targets in Libya for the first time. The two Apaches were carrying out missile strikes on a radar installation and a military checkpoint near the town of Brega. They both returned safely to the Royal Navy helicopter carrier HMS Ocean. Reports from South Waziristan in Pakistan suggest that a senior al-Qaeda leader has been killed in a US drone attack. Ilyas Kashmiri is believed to have masterminded last month's attack on a naval base in Karachi. There are conflicting reports over whether the president of Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh, has left the country. He was reportedly injured yesterday in a rocket attack on his presidential compound. Several senior government officials have been flown to Saudi Arabia to receive treatment for their wounds. The United States says it intends to expand its military presence in Southeast Asia and into the Indian Ocean. The American Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, told a regional security conference in Singapore that new ships, surveillance drones and cyber weapons would be deployed to protect allies. An independent review into the sexualization of children has called for more to be done to protect youngsters from explicit images and provocative clothing. The government, which commissioned the review, says it will implement the recommendations, which include putting age ratings on music videos. The Court of Appeal has banned Kieran Fallon from riding in this afternoon's Epsom Derby. It granted an injunction to the owner of Native Khan, who said Fallon had broken a promise to him and shouldn't be allowed to ride a rival horse, Recital. The jockey said it had been an innocent misunderstanding. And the weather. It's generally a warm, dry and sunny day for England and Wales, while the north of the UK will be cooler and cloudier, with patchy rain in parts. Temperatures this afternoon will reach highs of 25 degrees Celsius in England, 23 in Wales, 15 in Northern Ireland and 13 in Scotland. BBC Radio 3, the news and weather at 2:30 past one.
And now here's Lucy Skeeping with the early music show, which was recorded at this year's Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music.
Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that amidst the consistently high quality and vast output of music written by Johann Sebastian Bach, there are duplicated works. Bach, always the pragmatist, often rearranged his pieces to suit different instruments. And it's this that was the starting point for a very engaging and intriguing concert given at St John's Smith Square in London as part of the 2011 Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. The performers were the gamba player Hilla Pearl, her long-term partner, the lutenist Lee Santana, and the harpsichordist Patrick Ayrton. Highlights from the concert make up today's show. We'll hear a piece for solo harpsichord and music for solo lute. But at the heart of their programme of intimate Bach, sonatas for obbligato, gamba and keyboard, as well as arrangements of Bach's music for the trio combination. This is a group of inspirational musicians with a rather special approach to their art. For Hilla Pearl in particular, playing and studying music from earlier times is a real passion, an intense means of communication that connects us all with past, present and future. And as she says, takes her to places she never dreamt of.
Thank you.
part of the first movement, Vivace, from the Sonata in G minor for viola da gamba and keyboard by Bach, performed there by harpsichordist Patrick Ayrton with the gamba player Hilla Pearl. After rehearsals, I met up with the musicians and I took the opportunity to ask Hilla Pearl when she first encountered the viola da gamba.
I was brought up in a musician's household and we went to concerts regularly. I can't even remember the first concert I attended. I assume I was still a baby. But when I was 5, I consciously, for the first time, heard the viola da gamba played in a concert and must have made quite an impression on me.
And you weren't a cellist, first of all?
No. I a cello, it seems, you know, when you're acquainted with the viol, a cello seems rather a primitive instrument because it only has 4 strings and no frets, and, you know, so it never really occurred to me that that might be for music making.
Now, we're hearing Bach today. In his time, the viola da gamba, I guess, was beginning to be overtaken a bit by the cello. Is it still unusual, then, that Bach continued to write for it?
You know, the gamba did, in fact, stay in fashion a little bit longer. But it's true that, of course, the cello and the violin and all these other lovely instruments came more into fashion because they could play louder, could play in bigger halls and so on. I think it's particularly interesting that Bach wrote these sonatas for viola da gamba and harpsichord for the gamba as a genre, because it was a newly invented genre. We don't have so many obbligato sonatas before that. And Bach invented that and immediately used this instrument, which in fact was slightly going out of fashion after having been in fashion for a very long time.
So Hilla, how many gamba sonatas did Bach actually write?
Well, what we can prove and what we really have is the 3 that have come down to us over the centuries, but possibly it was more like 6. We would hope possibly even more, but from the historical evidence, we can assume that there must have been 6.
So 3 of them are missing.
Exactly. 3 of them are, we know not of. We have absolutely no documents about them.
Patrick, just turn to you for a moment. What about the harpsichord? What role does it take in these sonatas? Is it even Stevens, as we say?
Well, it's quite amusing. These sonatas are played by 2 persons. Hilla is playing, in fact, one of the voices, and I'm playing another voice with my right hand, and I'm playing the bass with my left hand. So these are actually trios played by 2. I find these pieces a real challenge. I find it fantastic to be in dialogue with Hilla, with a gamba. And we're having a lot of fun here, exchanging voices too. We're doing things which are not actually written in the music, but Bach's music allows for this. This is the wonderful thing about Bach's music. You can change things around and at the same time keep in style and stay with the basic rules of Baroque music from that time.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Gamba Sonata in D Major by Bach, performed by Hilla Perl and Patrick Ayrton as part of the 2011 Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. And I love the way that for the repeat, Hilla and Patrick exchanged the lines. What the gamba played the first time round was then given to the harpsichord and vice versa. It's not what Bach wrote exactly, but it is perhaps very much in the spirit of Bach, for whom flexibility and adaptation were important aspects of his creative life. By way of contrast now to the gamba music, Hilla Perl & Co's concert also featured solo instrumental music, including this next piece, the monumental chromatic fantasy and fugue in D minor for harpsichord. It's an extraordinary piece, even by Bach standards. Patrick Ayrton.
It is indeed a very mysterious piece. We are in a world which is very, I would say, very tragic. There is actually a theory about this piece that he wrote it after the death of his first wife. Bach went off with his prince. He accompanied him to a spa for about 3 months. And during that time, his first wife, Maria Barbara, died. And he didn't hear about this until he got home. And this was the beginning of a very difficult time for him, during which he composed, besides this piece, the Chromatic Fantasy, he composed the famous partitas and sonatas for violin, which he called Sei Solo. And this is could be also a play on words, because sei solo in Italian means you are alone. Anyway, all this fits well in the character of the Chromatic Fantasy. It is an extraordinary piece because some parts of it really remind me of music composed 100 years later, like music by Liszt, even Chopin, even a bit of Schumann in there. The impact of this piece of music was just enormous on the later generations of composers.
Chromatic Fantasy and Fugue in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by harpsichordist Patrick Ayrton. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping. Today, featuring highlights from a concert given as part of the 2011 Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. The one musician we haven't heard from so far is lutenist Lee Santana. Born in Florida, he spent his childhood playing rock and jazz guitar until he discovered the lute, after which his music making followed a very different direction. In 1984, he and gamba player Hilla Perl had a chance meeting on a North German railway platform. They got chatting and they've worked together as a duo ever since. So what's Lee's role in this concert?
Well, aside from playing a small solo, I'm playing continuo in the trio sonatas. I sort of fill out some harmonies and comment on some of the things that are going on, and I get to sort of zoom in and out of the bass line, which is a lot of fun. You feel like, oh, here's a nice curve coming up, and you sort of turn up the bass for a second and then disappear again. And so it's sort of a predatory role.
Lee Santana. Well, we'll hear him pursuing his predatory role with the rest of the group in just a moment. But before then, a chance to hear part of Lee's solo item. Here are two Baroque dances, a pair of gavottes from Bach's Lute Suite in G minor. Thank you. Kvots from Bach's Lute Suite in G minor, played by Lee Santana. The music of that lute suite is perhaps better known in its version for solo cello, as the fifth of Bach's cello suites. As I mentioned earlier on, Bach wasn't averse to arranging his music to suit other instruments, and it's with this in mind that Hiller Perl approached the final work in today's programme. Hiller has been intrigued since childhood by the fact that Bach composed six gamba sonatas, but that three of them are missing. Could it just be that the music for the missing sonatas exists elsewhere in Bach's output as arrangements for different instruments? This set in motion a search for potential new gamba music by Bach, and her journey through the composer's vast catalogue led her to recall the trio sonatas for solo organ, so called because the three lines of music, one for each hand at the keyboard and the third for the feet on the pedals, as with the gamba sonatas, suggest a trio of instrumental lines.
By looking at these organ trios, it occurred to me the make of them, you know, with two upper parts and then one part which, of course, when you play it on the organ, is played in the pedal. Basically, it's the same make, except that the bass line in the obbligato gamba sonatas is more active, more often takes over the role of a third part that also plays the melody and the theme. And the organ trios, the pedal part is meant to be quite strong. That's why it occurred to me it might be a good idea to have another bass instrument. And, of course, it also occurred to me maybe to use another string bass, but that, of course, tends then to cover up me. And so the lute seemed the perfect solution to add a little something and a little fun to those sonatas.
So when you first came across the organ sonatas, I mean, had anyone had this idea that they might also have been arranged for this combination?
My father was an organ player, so that's one reason why I already from early childhood on was familiar with the material. And, of course, there are a lot of other arrangements. There is, for instance, one very famous one of the D minor sonata for violin and flute and continuo, which is played very often. We also have from the E minor organ trio, there is from the first movement a different version of it for viola da gamba, oboe d'amore, and continue as the first movement from one of the cantatas. And so I looked at that to sort of see how these organ trio sonatas were transformed or vice versa when Bach used it to arrange his own material.
I mean, it is amazing how much Bach did use of his own material.
Exactly.
In fact, there are people who make a hobby out of spotting his tunes.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So I tried to very conscientiously look at everything in order to find how to bring these pieces to my instrument. And, of course, we also had, as a trio, we had to find out which octaves to play, which parts, and until we found that it works. And it could well be that this is a work in progress, you know. I mean, we have no claim that this might be a final solution for these pieces, but it's one attempt to modestly approach the material.
Hiller Perl. So here then, to end today's programme, is the arrangement of the trio sonata for organ in G major, performed by Hiller Perl on viola da gamba, with harpsichordist Patrick Ayrton and lutenist Lee Santana. Thank you.
Thank you.
Trio Sonata for Organ in G Minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, heard there in an arrangement for viola da gamba, harpsichord and lute, and performed by Hilla Pearl, Lee Santana and Patrick Ayrton. And Lucy Skeeping will be back tomorrow with more music from this year's Lufthansa Festival of Baroque Music. The producer of the Early Music Show was Chris Wines. And if you enjoy Bach, and who doesn't, and not only JS, you might be interested in an Early Music Show concert which is happening on Monday the 13th of June at Media City in Salford, and it's part of the BBC Philharmonic Presents Festival. Catherine Bott will be introducing a lunchtime concert there featuring the Academy of Ancient Music and Richard Egar performing works by various generations of the Bach family. If you'd like more information about that, just visit bbc.co.uk/tickets. The tickets themselves are free and they'll be allocated on a first-come, first-served basis.
A front row seat at a live concert every night of the week. Radio 3, live in concert.
This week, Radio 3 Live in Concert heads to BBC Philharmonic Presents, a colourful festival celebrating the orchestra's arrival in its new home in Salford. On Friday night, the Philharmonic becomes the Film Harmonic with movie critic Mark Kermode.
It's the music that made the movies. Vertigo, Star Wars, Batman, a centenary tribute to Bernard Herrmann and Nina Rota, and of course a celebration of the great John Williams. Where would films be without music like this?
Film music classics in Radio 3, live in concert. Friday night at 7:30.
So there you have two things to note about BBC Philharmonic Presents. Well, now we have another chance here on BBC Radio 3 to hear a concert which was first broadcast live from London's Wigmore Hall last Monday lunchtime. It's presented by Sean Rafferty.
And welcome to Wigmore Hall for a recital by one of the outstanding young musicians of our time. Shai Wozner is a former BBC New Generation artist. He was also awarded an Avery Fisher Career Grant and a Berletti Butoni Trust Award, all only given to performers of exceptional promise. And that promise has certainly already flowered. Shai has played with many of the world's great orchestras, from the old world to the new, from the Musikverein with the Vienna Philharmonic to the Hollywood Bowl with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. As the Financial Times has succinctly put it, he is an artist to follow keenly. Well, his musical curiosity and quixotic intelligence give us a programme today that takes us on a journey of joined up and infinite variety. We have variations from Beethoven and Oliver Nussen, from Handel and Brahms. His variations on a theme of Handel, the theme The Air from the Handel Suite, were to hear first. Immediately after the Handel, Shai will play Oliver Nussen's 12 variations on a theme, concise with a limited amount of raw material, says the composer, and they last only 7 minutes. But first, it's Handel, his suite in B-flat, put together by Handel's publisher John Walsh, begins with a prelude, then a movement called a sonata, variations on a six-bar sequence. The famous air, which we'll hear later in the Brahms, follows. And with the five variations, Walsh then added a minuet in G minor, a quixotic decision that Shai is not going to play today. Here he is to play the suite in B-flat, HWV 434.